It's always a pleasure to be here. Those are not careless words said out of. They're real words. After listening to the prayer and what Joyce had to say this morning, and feeling the Spirit of the Lord here, it's going to be hard for me to even speak. I hope and pray that every time I say something, it's not me, that I'm not carelessly speaking from the flesh. I know that I stand here in the flesh, but I also stand here in the Spirit. The words of that song that we just sang, it said in one verse, it says, "Thy truth unchanged hath ever stood." Where do we find that truth? We find it in God's Word. We call it the Bible. But it's God's Word. And His Word is truth forever. It does not change. There are people in many different denominations. There are people that never go through the door of some church somewhere. It's called a church. There are many people, they don't believe the truth of this Bible. If they believed the truth of the Bible, they would go somewhere to worship the Lord. And those that do go to church, they would read it for what it says and not for their vain imaginations. Now, I've got to say this right up front. It's supposed to be later on in the few words that I have to say. If a person does not believe this Word of God and what it says about the resurrection, they do not know the Lord. I have to believe that. I believe that every person that belongs to the Lord believes in the resurrection of the Lord. If you heard somebody say to you, "That man never, he's still in the grave," they're liars. All of those that belong to the Lord today, the people of God, are witnesses for the resurrection of the Lord. Now that was the end of the message. First, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I hope I'm not stealing Brother Jordan's message this morning. I'm not. I'm not going to worry about it. The few thoughts that I have, Sister Joyce, can you hear me today?
Yes.
Thank you. The title of just a few thoughts that I have is Witnesses of the Resurrection. And that's who we are. We that belong to the Lord. Those that don't belong to the Lord, they're not His witnesses. Sorry to say that. I hate to say it. I desire that they know the resurrection of the Lord and believe in Him. I'm going to start with the first verse there and read a few verses here. If I could see, I'm having trouble seeing with my eyes. I'm sorry. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And that's what we're here for. We're always here to hear the gospel. I love to hear the gospel. For a great number of years, I've listened to the gospel. And I continue to hear more every day. Every Sunday, I come here to hear the gospel once again. Even when you're speaking from the Old Testament, the book of Amos, we're hearing from we're hearing the gospel proclaimed, which I preach unto you. Paul wrote this. But I hope and pray that every time I speak about God's Word, it's the gospel truth and it pleases Him. I must say this right up, another thought just came to my mind. Linda, you remember that there was I was in Angleton this past week and a man from across the street walked over and a lady from down the street walked up there. She drove up there. And got out and come in to speak to us. I don't remember the reason for them coming or anything like that. I just want to remember of what was said. Along the way, this man from across the street has a big cancer on the side of his face. And his ears have eaten off already. And he's going to have to go to the doctor and have it cut off. And it should have been done months and months and months ago. But he has a little shortage of money. And, of course, when you go to the doctor today, they want to be paid for it. But in the conversation, he was getting ready to go, and I just had to tell him, I said, your time is short. They're going to go down there and cut this off, and they're already talking like everything's going to be okay after the surgery. The cancer I see on the side of his head is serious. Now, I'm not no doctor, and I'm not no prophet, and but I said, your time is short. Shortly, you will have to go and stand before the Lord. And I said, the most dreadful thing that you will ever hear out of God's word is out of his mouth at that time. The dreadful words that I spoke, I quoted to him, Matthew 7:23. He does not know the Lord. That's my feelings about it. He doesn't go to church. Can I place a final judgment on him like that? No, I can't. But he never goes to church. He doesn't speak of the Lord. He doesn't, everything he does is for his own self. I told him, I quoted Matthew 7:23. I said, many will come in that on that day before the Lord, and they'll hear these dreadful words, the most dreadful words in God's Word as far as I'm concerned. I never knew you. How dreadful it would be to stand before God on Judgment Day and hear those words. I never knew you. But you know what? When I stand there, I knew He was going to be there. I believe God's Word. And He's, I don't know what that noise was. I got my telephone off this time. we know that because we're witnesses of his resurrection, that he will be there. Now, no matter what I told that man, by the way, I hadn't said anything else about that dear lady sitting up. She's a professing Christian. But she didn't say anything when I quoted that verse. Because you see, many people, churchgoers, professing Christians, will go before him that day and hear the very same words. I never knew you. I hope it's not me. I hope it's not anybody here. But everybody does not belong to the Lord. Which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. Verse 2. By which also you are saved. Saved by that gospel. The word of God. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And many people in God's house, they even go every Sunday. Sunday after Sunday. Profession says, well, I go to church. I believe in God's word. And in their heart, they do not belong to the Lord. They believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. This is not a new gospel, just in the New Testament. It's an old gospel, a continuing gospel from eternity past. Those that belong to him before the foundation of the world. Marvin always liked that idea, that thought. If you belong to the Lord, you belong to him forever, according to the scriptures. And it's amazing, and I don't have time to go back and look at these passages in the Old Testament. But I do have a list of them if you want them. But I've already spent too much time here. Verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That was repeated twice. According to the scripture. He arose again because he died for us. He died for me. He died and went into that grave the third day. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Now that could be confusing. Scripture there, if you don't look at it carefully, if you don't read any other scriptures. Because you see, Cephas is the surname of Peter. Peter Cephas. And I don't quite understand that, but it's the same person. This is Peter speaking. But he was one of the 12. And some will say, well, I thought he was one of the 12. He was. To me, it's not a confusing thing. They all went to Jerusalem. They were not all traveling the same road, probably. And 11 were gathered together up there, and suddenly Peter shows up. Well, that's another story. You can study that out all you want to. Because where I want to go is, I want you to notice the word seen there. He was seen of Peter, then of the 12. All 12 of them, the apostles. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren. Sounds like a church gathering to me. 500. I wish we had 500 here this morning, brother. Brother. But he is seen from us. Here, right here. He sees, we have seen him. I have seen him. I know it's the truth. I know he arose out of that grave. You must believe the truth of God's word. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. That was a pretty good gathering, Brother Jordan. Whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some of them are dead and in the graveyard. Some of them are still alive. Now today, out of this 500 group, none of them are alive. As far as I know, I don't know any of them. All I know is that some today have seen him. Those that belong to him. Verse 7. After that, he was seen of James. Now, there are many different commentaries that say this is so-and-so or so-and-so or so. Gill says that this is the Lord's half-brother. However, how you want to state it. Seen of, but he was, what I want to point out to you is, he was seen. Then of all the apostles. Then of all the apostles. Huh. That's sort of repeated. Verse 8. At last of all he was seen of me. Paul speaking. Where on earth did Paul see the Lord Jesus? Also as the one born out of due time. Somebody asked that question. Did he see him on the road to Emmaus? That's a good place. There are several other places where he was spiritually came in contact with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's God speaking. But he claims he saw him there. Physically, he did not see him there. I don't believe. If he did, fine. He saw him. He claims it right here in the scripture. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles. Well, I'm definitely not no apostle. Sometimes I feel like I'm the least of all saints, Brother Jordan, because I know I go astray every single day. And it hurts me that I do. Thank you, Joyce, for what you said. But you know, I know that I go astray every day. For I am the least of the saints of God. That am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I hope I don't persecute those that belong to the Lord in any particular fashion. I hope I don't make a quick judgment of any of them. And the only place I can legally, that's not even a good word, Joel. That's not a good word. Joel, legally, I cannot make a right judgment of any man outside of the Word of God. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I'm here this morning. I'm thankful that I strive. I do strive. And I know I can look back and see where I fall short. I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I feel like sometimes it's in vain, Brother Jordan, because I know where I go astray in so many different places. Sin is a deadly thing. But I'm given life because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I labor more abundantly than they all. Does that mean that because he did all this labor, did all this preaching, speaking the truth of God's word, does that mean that those words, this abundant work that he had done caused him to be closer to the Lord? I said that wrong. But he belonged to the Lord. And he saw him. And wherever he went astray, God had mercy on him. And that's the reason he abundantly charged forth to proclaim the word of God. And that's where he strove to be obedient to God's word. And that's where we need to be. We need to be more abundantly involved in God's work in our individual lives. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It was the grace of God that brought that man from across the street I was telling you about and that woman from down the street down into the yard at the same time. And while I was talking to him, she heard what was being said. And when I said, I knew you not, I never knew you, she got awful quiet. And I hope she took it home with her. And I hope she took her Bible out. She's a Bible reader, by the way. Probably more than I read God's Word. I've been in her house and her Bible's always laying out there. I can see it being moved around in different places. Now, I don't know what denomination I would call her. I would have to assume, I'm assuming, the name of the church she goes to is not, it doesn't say Baptist or anything like that. It might be Presbyterian, Brother Jordan, I'm not sure. But she reads her Bible. Verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached and so we believed. We believe the prophets of the Old Testament. We believe the apostles of the New Testament. We believe all the witnesses of God. We believe everybody that says he arose. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And there are some that say that. Even today, they claim there was no resurrection. They don't know the truth of God's word. They don't believe in him. They don't belong to him. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, verse 13, then is Christ not risen? Just because they don't believe in it, does that mean he hadn't arose? No, it doesn't mean that. That means they don't know God's word. That's what it means. That means they don't belong to the Lord. We've already said that. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? If it were true, it would be in vain. But because we're standing here, and our pastor stands here, and true men of God throughout the world stand in the pulpits this morning or whenever they're there, proclaiming the truth, it would be an absolute waste of their time if there was no resurrection. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. That's what it would be, Brother George. You're a false witness if the Lord hadn't arose. But there were witnesses. And now we are witnesses. Now, the scripture in one place seemingly indicates that Peter was the first to see the Lord. It also tells us that Mary Magdalene was there at the gravesite. And when he came out, she saw him. She believed in his resurrection. Well, let me read a passage from Acts chapter 1 and 15. Keep your place there. I don't think I will, but anyway, Acts 1 and 15 says, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. I wonder if he counted them. I don't know, but God's word said there was 120 of them there, but they were witnesses. But in Galilee, where Christ in the days of his flesh had chiefly conversed, most frequently preached, and wrought his miracles, and where the number of his disciples and followers were very large, here he promised his disciples to go before them and show himself to them after his resurrection, as he accordingly did." He did that. He said, "You see me today, I'm here, and I'm going to go preach the gospel for the next 40 or 50 days or whatever it was." Matthew 26 and 32 says, "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Another place he spoke of. And those people that listened to him in Galilee, they were witnesses. Because I believe some of them believed. I said, "There's my Lord." And if he walked in here this morning, would we believe him? I pray that I would. Acts 26:16 says, "But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee." The Lord speaking to some folks there. He appeared. That's what I want you to get out of this. There were sufficient witnesses in the scripture proving that there was a resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for my sins and your sins, those that believe in him, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. The Lord revealed this resurrection to Paul and to the others that were around. It was going to take place. It was a revelation. And it's a revelation to us that he wasn't still in the grave. It was a revelation to us that God's word is true. Well, I got some notes here. They were the first things that I used. I pray that we all might understand and read God's word more often. Thank you, Brother Joe.
Greatest proof of the resurrection of Christ is life in you. And yes, there are many today that are supposedly celebrating Easter, the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection. Well, yeah, there's most of the churches today, they're so-called churches, at least they're having an Easter egg hunt, but they didn't have it yesterday, they have it today. Somehow, they have associated these things, and who knows. But it's not them that we're really concerned about. It's us, that we might worship the Lord today. It is a marvelous thing, this thing of a resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Just as Paul said here, if it's not true, then all of this that we're doing is just pure vanity. Amen. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, right? But we know that it's true because he has revealed himself unto us alive. And we live by his Spirit. And we do serve him. How many times have you heard, though, people make that quote, the very first phrase of that 15th chapter, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians? I am what I am by the grace of God. But they don't mean it the way the apostle meant it. That's right. And that's what they're ultimately saying is, well, I know I'm just a sinner, but I am by what I am by the grace of God. They need to learn the rest of the verse, don't they? But hopefully we know it. And hopefully it is a part of our everlasting lives.